Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Side Quest. I'm joined, as always, by my favorite three PCs in the entire world. First up is Dan. How are you doing, buddy?
Howdy do day. I'm good.
Did you get a little mixed up there?
No.
Okay. Richie, how are you, man?
Doing all right. How about you, bro?
Doing good. Doing good. And last but not least, Cruz Turner. Ba-ba-da-ba-ba. Cruz, how are you, bud?
Hello. I'm good. Thank you.
Are you already in Boulder's headspace?
I don't know. Honestly, I'm still thrown at the shifting of gears during the side quest. So I've sat here and been contemplating my life choices and thinking about peacefully sunsetting myself.
Oh, nice. There you go. You're not talking about anything drastic, more just going to move down to a retirement community in Florida.
Okay. Yeah, and be the youngest guy there. You know, the ladies would
think
love
about
me.
It.
They just pop their dentures out and never
oh,
mind.
Oh, Lord. Pop your dentures out and eat casserole with you is what you're talking about, I'm sure. Guys, I want to check in with you from last time. We had a little bit of tension between you guys and the interviewer, if we can go ahead and get into character. Dr. Cogsbuckle, what did you think about that whole situation?
Well, you know, like I stated before, I was very confused as to why they were there. Why he was there, specifically. He'd been at my school for quite some time, and I didn't even know he was even there.
Which is funny to me because he literally was staying in the room right next to yours.
Yes, of course. Well, you know, I don't really pay attention that much.
Like, just in general?
Well, yes.
Yeah, makes sense. Din, what do you think about the whole interview thing?
Screw the interview. We are in so much trouble. Like, come on, y'all. It sucks.
Yeah, I'd imagine there are probably going to be some repercussions by the fact that this whole documentary that Ratboy signed you guys up for was sponsored by ZSG, and you then robbed their warehouse on camera.
Some other school did that. That wasn't us.
Yeah. We'll see how the consequences of that play out. And last but not least, Boulder, you got a little confrontational over Ratboy, which I was happy to see. Ratboy deserves more respect than that.
Yes, I said, but you didn't hear it because you weren't listening very closely. I'm still a little upset.
It seems like it.
It's okay, though.
It's okay. I'm sure, you know, Ratboy appreciates that I'm positive that he does. So the other thing that happened last episode, right, we met up with the Renoirs, and they got the batteries from you, and Din started covering for Nelson. Dr. Cogsbuckle Boulder, what is that about?
You know, I'm not completely sure. The entire time that it was happening, I was extremely frustrated. I was like, Din, in my head, of course. Din, what are you doing? Nelson is a jackhole. Okay. I'm not completely sure why you're defending him, but I'm sure you have your reasons.
Can you even fathom what those reasons may be?
No.
Okay, yeah, I thought so. Boulder, how do you
now,
feel about Din's
I will say this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Din was in jail at one point, right? He had his upside-down teardrop.
Right, for resuscitating someone.
Yes. So, you know, part of me feels like it's one of those things where you befriend the biggest guy in the yard, and then you use him to your advantage.
Okay.
So I'm kind of in the back of my head thinking maybe that's what he's doing, but I'm still extremely confused.
I like that. That's a good theory. Boulder, what do you think about Din's new best friend?
Maybe Eyes did something to upset Din, and now he's lashing out at me.
You know, that's a possibility. Have y'all had any spats or fights lately?
Not really. I mean, I ate his portions of Ratboy's chilies, but I think I saved him a lot of troubles.
Yeah, that's probably true. You've definitely paid penance for any things you did related to Ratboy's chili.
I paid spoopins.
Oh, man, we are a highbrow podcast for sure. Well, guys, I think if it's okay with y'all, we've done our six-minute intro, and it's time for the episode.
I'm okay with that. The echoes of excited yells bounce around the red brick walls of Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House. A whoop goes up from those closest to the action as patrons towards the back of the ring of people jostle and shove to get a better view. Their collective attention is focused on an intricate series of tubes and walls attached to a large piece of plywood laid out across two tables. Another yell rips across the crowd as one of two fat brown rats in opposing mazes turns the correct corner into the final leg of winding tubes. "Come on, you brown son of a gun!" A particularly disheveled man clad in tattered overalls and a once white tank top yells loudly, a bit too close to the ear of a smaller, similarly attired man. The smaller man backhands him across the face.
"You idiot! We bet our money on the other one!"
A heated argument ensues and only intensifies as the lead rat makes three more correct turns before crossing the line and the finish gate thunks closed. A green neon sign overhead buzzes to life, showing the number one as an even mix of wild cheers and strung-out curses spill out from the crowd. Money and blows change hands through the group as congratulations and arguments are passed around. As the excitement dissipates, the large frame of Uncle Merrill steps into view, the sweat from his bare chest staining his already filthy chef's apron. He wipes his hand on his high-waisted denim pants before running through his frizzy, unkempt beard.
All right. That was a great one. A truly great race. I'm sure everyone has had a great... Hey! You two, cut the fighting or you're getting thrown out. That's right, Milford. I'm talking to you, and don't look at me like that. I'll come over there and... I'm sorry, Milford. I didn't know you were just giving Gene the Heimlich maneuver. Chew the oysters before you swallow them, Gene. Anyways, as I was saying, that was a truly great race. And I thank you all for your patronage. Remember, you can only find this type of excitement at Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House. Please be sure to tip Isaac for all of his hard work, and maybe even a little something extra for old Uncle Merrill. In the meantime, quit crowding and get back to your seats, you animals.
Dr. Cogsbuckle and Boulder are crowded in the corner booth at the back of the Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House, commiserating over partially empty drink glasses. Guys, what's the conversation like?
I was telling the doc, I'm really upset that Din has been missing so many goldfish games. We were in the league at the schools, and it upsets me that Drunken Stump has gotten three victories while we have three absentees entries.
Yeah, he's quickly moving to the top. He's quickly moving to the top of the leaderboard, which is disconcerting for everyone involved. Dr. Cogsbuckle, Din has been absent for quite a few of the team meetings and morning yoga exercises that you do. So what exactly are you thinking about the situation?
Yes, Boulder. Yeah, you know, the goldfish game. I don't personally participate, but I understand your frustration. It's very intense.
It's competitive.
Yeah,
Docs.
It's very competitive.
Someone's lost a finger once time.
Yes, it's one of our few extracurricular activities, so I understand your frustration. Din has been gone. You know, he helps lead the yoga class in the morning. But he hasn't been there, so I've had to have a rat boy do it. And unfortunately, rat boy.
He's quite limber.
Yes. But he doesn't do the downward dog quite as good as Din does.
It's about that time that Isaac walks up to the table and his server's tray upturned on his palm, and he says, guys, are y'all okay? I mean, honestly, every time you come in here, you're looking pretty down, and where's Din?
You know, Isaac, that's a fantastic question. Din is currently busy with his new pal, Nelson. Now, don't get Boulder started.
Oh, man, I love Nelson. He was in here the other day with Din, actually.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, really big tipper. He was a really nice guy.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure he was. Yes. So,
I bet he's terrible at the goldfishes.
I don't think he plays. I actually heard him say goldfish was dumb.
Boulder, it's okay. We will not include him in our extracurricular activities of goldfish at the school.
I don't even think he should have an opportunities to do the applications, as Doc.
Yes, well, you know, if he ever inquires about it, I'll just make sure to put him on a waiting list and never get back to him. But I don't see that happening anytime soon, because I'm sure the Rimoires are taking very good care of him.
So, guys, I hate to interrupt. Uncle Merrill said you gotta order some food or you gotta leave.
But we're waiting on Din's to orders.
But y'all have been here for like a couple hours.
I know. So just bring me another drink Ans will get some foods soon, Isaacs, please.
Isaac looks back over his shoulder towards the bar where Uncle Merrill is serving drinks and kind of like gives him a look, and Uncle Merrill gives him a look back, and he says, okay, guys, that's fine.
Tell him we wants to orders from the chef's special menu.
You, like the oyster, the special oysters?
No. We want to order. I'm doing dog's voice now. Yes, of course. We want to orders from the special menu.
The chef's special?
No. I lean over to Isaac. We want to buy some of your stuff.
We can put you some to go if you want. That's fine.
Isaac just asks Uncle Merrill's to come over. Please.
Okay. Yeah, no problem, Boulder. Whatever you need me to do, man. I'm here to help. I'll go get you a couple more refreshers on these drinks, too. So.
Yes, Isaac. Could you please grab me a Bull Red? I know.
They're Dr. really bad Gogs, for you.
Well, I didn't finish what I was saying. Please excuse me. I was saying, I know. You know what? Never mind.
Isaac says, no, I wasn't trying to interrupt you, Doctor. I was just kind of like, they're really setting up for another race, so.
Really?
Docs, I do admit you take a little long of pauses.
Listen here. I was saying...
Isaac walks away. He just walks back to the bar to go get your drinks. Oh, man.
I'll listen to you, Doc. What was you gonna say?
Well, he was rudely interrupting me. I was gonna say, you know how when people are like, well, you know you're talking to somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you know how you do something regular, and then you do something different, and then you're like, I know. You normally get a Jager bomb. But then I was going to tell him that, hey, listen, I stopped drinking a while ago, so I just need the Bull Reds now. It was a whole thing. Oh. It was a whole thing I had in my head, but Boulder doesn't really matter at this point because he kept interrupting me like a rude boy.
It's about this time, through the windows, you see a large black steam power cruiser drive up and kind of get one wheel up on the curb, and out of the passenger seat, you see Den pop out.
Boulder slaps Doc's arm. There he is.
That's my bad arm, Boulder.
Oh. I'm sorry, Doc. And I like lean around him and slap his other arm.
I guess that's better, of course. Din's here? Is that what you said?
Yes. Look, you see Nelson's car.
Yes, it's quite atrocious.
So you see Den lean back in through the window and give Nelson some type of special secret handshake that Boulder, he's never done with you before. And he then turns around. Nelson speeds off, kind of burning rubber as he goes in probably the most impressive way that's possible in a vehicle. And Den walks through the doors. The bell on the door dings, and he walks down the middle that you can see him carrying an envelope, and he walks up to the table.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Oh, Boulder, I gotta talk to you later. Nelson and I were talking. The whole goldfish thing is, you know, it's really a kid's game, and, you know, it's kind of for sissies.
Oh,
so,
my
I mean,
God.
I feel as though we should, like, drop out, just, like, you know, just stump it on them. Just, and we can talk about this later. And Den's gonna throw the envelope on the table, like, we got paid, boys.
I understand your decisions, Den. If you don't want to play the goldfish anymore, maybe you don't have to lie and say it was Nelson's ideas.
I put my hand on Boulder's shoulder.
Boulder, you...
Don't touch me right now. I don't want to be alone.
I'm so sorry, Boulder. Den...
Well, like I said, we'll talk about this later. Like, it's been rattling around in my
There's
head.
There's no talking about it. It's an idea. Stupid Nelson. It's so great you married him or something.
Well.
I'm not gonna lie right now. I acted too good. Now my eyes are watering. Like, I'm actually crying as Boulder right now. Like, I hurt my own feelings.
Sorry, dude.
No, I was getting in character. Now my feelings are hurt. Poor little Boulder just wants to play some goldfish with his boy.
It's a easy game.
You stupid Nelson.
Guys, we're going to win a Grammy off of this.
Boulder, I've never...
At least a daytime Emmy. Right.
Boulder, I've never seen you cry this much. I wasn't aware that you and Din were that close. But... Yes.
Yeah.
He's my best friend's dog.
No, Bully, it's cool, but we'll find a better game to play. Look, Nelson's been showing me this new thing that we can get into. We can make more money off of it, and, you know, it's more of a manly game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you won't want to play with Boulder anymore because he's only good at goldfishes because it's for kids.
No. And
I don't think
Boulder, you're super. Don't even start. Boulder, you're super smart. Don't start. We had to learn goldfish together. I'll teach you the new game and we'll go back to being, you know, buds.
You know I have issues with inadequacies.
Cruz, I'll call you later. Do you want to talk about some stuff? I feel like you and I need to
work some stuff out. I am projecting a little bit of too much of myself in the Boulder right now.
It's about this time as Din takes a seat on his usual spot in the booth that Uncle Merrill sidles up to the table, pulls around his chair, whips it around backwards, and sits down. The chair creaks underneath his weight, and he says, "What? Boys, you are really just killing the vibe over here. What is happening?"
"Sorry, Uncle Merrill. I stubbed my toe under the tables."
Din missed our yoga class this morning.
"I did. That was on me. My bad."
"Yeah, Ratboy mentioned something about having to teach the class."
"Ratboy's doing really well, I think. I mean, I feel like you guys don't even need me anymore."
"He is surprisingly limber."
"That's what I said. This is crazy."
Uncle Merrill leans over, unties his apron a little bit, and offers it to Boulder. And unfortunately, it's the most grease-ridden side of it.
"Thank you, Uncle Merrill. Why does it smell like feet?"
"No, that's just oyster juice."
"Oh, it smells delectable."
"Now, I walked over here for a couple reasons, gentlemen. It's number one is because... I heard the distinctive sound of money hitting the table, and number two is because I was told that you wanted to order from the special menu."
"Yes."
"Oh, okay."
"Yes."
he plops a menu down on the table and slides it over to the group. Who picks it up?
"I do."
"Okay. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you open the menu, and it's the same plastic menu on either side, and it's really no other items other than oysters and tattoos, but on the inside of it you see a paper menu, and it has a list of weaponry and various wartime accoutrements on it. And he says, what do we be having today, boys?" So just so our listeners know, this is Uncle Merrill's little shadier side of his tattoo parlor and oyster shop. He is a black market arms dealer. And in that, he provides a list of weaponry and armor and all kind of gadgets to the patrons of his bar. And we have a little bit of those. So I'm going to go... I want everybody to look at this list that we have sent out. And Dr. Cogsbuckle, pick one item from the list and read it out for the people."
"Yes. Uncle Merle, as you know, I have been injured quite a bit. Yes?"
I'd say that's fairly obvious, yes.
"Yes, I typically come in here battered and bruised and bloody, and sometimes my arms rip to shreds, but we won't get into that. I know this won't do anything for my arms particularly, but I would like to purchase one of these light flak vests. You know, for protection."
"No, I think, yeah, that seems like a good idea. And you know what, for you, special deal, only 200 scratch."
"Wow, what a steal."
"Yeah, it's actually I know it says 200 scratch right beside it on the menu, but it's actually, that was the wrong price. It was actually 300, and I took it down to 200 for you."
"Wow, that's so generous of you. Yep, I appreciate that so much, Uncle Merrill.
You know, given our history, I just thought it'd be a nice thing to do."
"Yes, well, I was hoping for a little bit more, but that's okay."
"Well, I mean, it could be 250 if you want it to be a little bit more."
No, not that. You know, a little more of a discount.
No, that doesn't seem right.
It doesn't?
Okay. No, I feel like, you know, you would never devalue my business in that way.
Well, you got me started in this business, so I trust you.
So, just so everybody knows, the envelope that Din set down, unless Din is going to tell me he took a little bit out of the side, included 1,000 scratch, and they got 500 from the damages to the school where the Rimwars reimbursed them a few episodes ago, so they have 1,500 scratch to work with.
Ooh, is that what you think in the envelope?
Din, why don't you tell me how many scratch I'll have to work with?
There's scratch in the envelope?
Y'all have 500 scratch to work with. So
is that... Last time I checked the envelope, there is a slip of paper that says I owe you on it.
Written in Din's handwriting?
No, Nelson.
Nelson's handwriting. I like that. I like that very much. So here's how we'll play that. Uncle Merrill, after hearing Dr. Cogsbuckle talking about the secret menu out loud, he says, guys, can we do this in the back? Is that okay with y'all? I just really don't like to advertise the business out front.
Well, yes, of course. That's fine. Let's go.
So everybody gets up and y'all go to the back room. And in the back, you see several walls lined with buckets of iced oysters still in their shells. And he goes over to one particularly large pile of buckets, and it smells absolutely horrendous back here. These are very old, very nasty oysters. And he opens the shell of one of them in particular that's resting on top of a bucket. Looks a little bit fake, and there's a pearl inside of it. And he pulls on the pearl, and it kind of comes up, and you hear steam hissing, and the whole wall like moves backwards and to the side, leading you into a back room. This part of the tattoo parlor and oyster house is significantly nicer than the rest of it. It's got, you know, some very fashionable striped wallpaper. It's got some nice rugs, and it's got a couple of chairs and a big oak table in the middle of it. And he says, "Why don't we sit down, boys, and we can kind of get to business here."
Oh man, that never gets old. God, that's so cool.
No, I appreciate that. It's the pearl of my shop, if you know what I mean.
Nice. That was good.
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, Merle, this sure does take me back.
Yeah, no, I know y'all have been here a bunch of times, but I just, it's the effect, you know what I mean?
Yes, I love the secret passage.
Yes, absolutely. So why don't we all just take seats so we can talk about business here for a second. So how many scratch do y'all have to work with exactly?
Dan's going to look around.
Well, how much is in the envelope?
Who grabbed the envelope? Is it still sitting on the table?
We'll say that Dr. Cogsbuckle grabbed the envelope because I think that makes sense.
I open the envelope.
There's a note inside that says, I owe you.
My God. Well, Merle, I thought you said you heard money clanking around.
No, I just heard people talk. You know, it's kind of like a metaphor.
Yes, okay.
Well, I'm just pulling your leg, though. I have the money. Nelson and I were talking about that on the way over here as a little prank, you know. No, I have it. And Din's going to actually, from inside of his jacket, he's going to take the wad of scratch out and hand it over to Doc.
Doc, you count through, you flip through it and find 1,000 scratch there, which is more than you have seen in a very long time.
Thank you, Din.
Yeah, no problem.
I appreciate you leading me on and making me look like an idiot.
Alright. It was poor taste. Sorry. I'll text Nelson now and say the joke didn't land very well.
Yes, it landed very poorly. Anyway.
Guys, I hate to rush you along, but if you could go ahead and tell me what you want from the list of items, that'd be great. So why don't we do this in turn order? So Dr. Cogsbuckle and then Din and then Boulder can go through and y'all can discuss what you want. And then we can make a final list. As long as it's 1,500 or under, we'll be good to go. So Dr. Cogsbuckle, you got first choice. So you said light flak vest for 200 scratch. Is that right?
Yes, a light flak vest at 200 scratch.
Okay. Next up is going to be Din. Din, what do you want from the list?
Could I? Oh, that looks fun. How about this pump shotgun right here?
Yeah, that'd be a pump shotgun. Uncle Merle says, yeah, you know, that pump shotgun, that's very near and dear to me, Denon. I don't know if you know Clementine Warrant, but he was quite a hero around here, and that's actually his pump shotgun. So, maybe we could do that for 300 scratch.
Tell you what, I'll say yes to that, but I'll let them really kind of go shopping. Yeah, it's not something I need. It's kind of a want, so it's more... If we got some left over, that's a yes.
Did you see the gold colored plating on the side of that shotgun?
Boulder, for God's sakes, order something before I take that gun.
Boulder, what would you like from the list?
Dins, go ahead and takes it. You deserves it. After all, you did lose Boticas.
Alright, I guess if he says, Doc, is that cool?
Yes, of course. That's perfectly fine, Din.
And, I guess chalk me up for the shotgun, boss.
Oh, yeah. No, that sounds good. So, if my math is right, it sounds like we've got 1,000 left.
Yeah, that tracks.
All right, Boulder, what are we looking at?
I think that those flashbang grenades look goods to me.
Okay, they come in two in a box. We'll call it 400. 400 even for two?
Sure.
Okay, so two of the flashbang grenades, vest and shotgun. Dr. Cogsbuckle, what about you? We are at, right at 900 right now.
Well, you know, I feel like I'm at an arcade where, you get the tickets and you go to the counter. Have you ever been?
No, I'm not familiar.
Oh, okay, well, you know, this sonic diffuser sounds interesting, but it looks like it's 500, so I don't really know. Guys, what do you think?
It's actually 600, Doc. I don't hate to be that guy.
Oh,
but...
I'm sorry. I misread.
Yeah, no discounts at all local Merrill's. You know, we got a business to run, so... Which it actually works out because you got about 600 scratch left in the old budget.
Oh, you know what, Uncle Merle? I'm so sorry. I was looking at the recon drone.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's that's a pretty good little beauty there. That if you run it,
I don't
long.
Know if it was a misprint, but they're really close on the menu, and I read the wrong price.
Yeah, no, it happens. It happens. So, are you interested in the drone or the diffuser?
Well, you know, I'm interested in the diffuser because, you know, my two friends here, they can hold their own pretty well. Now, unfortunately for me, I'm a little bit more fragile. So...
I'm a little
more fragile.
Fragile.
I don't know, boys. What do you think? I don't want to use up all the scratch, but I would like to get y'all's input as well.
Nah, we can always make more scratch. You go ahead, boss.
But is there anything you guys are just itching for? Is there anything on his menu just sound delectable?
Din's gonna be polishing the gold on his brand new shotgun. Nah, Din's good over here.
And just to be clear, those are gold colored plates.
Not to Din.
Doc, it's still your turn.
Ducks, I think you should go for the Sonic's diffusers because if you know the Sonic diffusers is crazy and will protect you from one big hit, and I think that's a good idea considering you like to get the big hits.
Yes, Boulder, you were spot on with that one. Maybe next time we try the Weasel Maneuver, I can just have this as a backup plan. Yes, Uncle Merle, I will take one Sonic Diffuser, please.
Okay, so 600, that kind of brings you guys to the full amount. He rings the bell twice that is a push button on the table beside where he's sitting. And the door, or the wall, slides out, and Isaac comes in carrying all of your items in one big box. And he sets a black case down in front of Uncle Merrill, and he says, boys, I think we're probably going to need this, too. He opens it up, and you see six brand new nucleotastic batteries in the case. He pulls one out, screws it into the sonic diffuser, and it kind of lights up and powers up. He says, make sure you guys read the warning label on that one before you use it, by the way. And he snaps the case closed with the five nucleotastics in it. He says, so what's the next job, guys?
Yet to be seen. also, Uncle Merrill's, I know that you're a good fans of Railgun magazines, and I move Nelson's bag over in front of me and unzip it and pull out issue 48 in a sleeve.
Oh my sweet mother mercy. Is that issue 48 of Railgun magazine?
It is.
How did you get this?
I was a birthday gift from a friend named Jerry.
I'm in shock at the moment. What are you just, are you bragging right now? What are we doing?
What is it?
In your minds, what is this worth in scratches?
I mean, I would say that's easily worth 1,200, 1,500 scratch.
Boulder, you really like that. Are you sure you're willing to give it up?
Then, if you think about it, I'll find another one.
All right, bud. Your choice.
And if you don't use your investments, then what's the point of taking them to the grave?
I mean, you're
right.
That
Nelson
issue
says that a lot.
That issue itself has appreciated 300% to its current value in just the past few weeks. Who knows what else could happen with it? But if you want to sell it to me now, I will gladly take it.
How's about this, Uncle Merrill's? You takes it. I takes this rail rifle, and any appreciations, you could consider that towards maybe a future purchases.
He looks down at the issue of Railgun magazine, and he looks back up at you and says, Isaac, go get him the rail rifle. And Isaac says, Boss, are you sure? That's like, that is not a good trade. Isaac, go get him the god dang rail rifle. And he looks down and picks up the magazine and he says, I've done it. I can't believe I've done it. After all this time of searching, I have actually done it. And he cradles it to his chest and giggles to himself.
Dan's gonna get on his wad and boogle real quick on G-Bay how much that goes for.
You notice when you go to get on your wad that it is not working this room.
Ah, right. Security and whatnot. And Dan's just gonna kind of like, you know, suck on his teeth for a second and go, well, at least I tried.
It's about that time Isaac walks back in with the railgun boxed up and And Uncle Merrill pops open the box containing the 5 nucleotacid batteries, pulls one out, and says, "Boulder, take. Mm-hmm. You'll need this. You'll need this too. No one can understand, and no one can ever know."
I don't know what that means.
It's a real rare issue. I know. I've collected them myself. I said Zim like it. Yeah, I've done the collecting my whole life. It's pretty good, yeah. The magazine, it's so hip and cool.
But Boulder, you can't ever understand. You idiot. You'll never understand what you just done.
Okay.
Jeez.
Uncle Merrill's just whispering to himself now.
Uncle Merle.
Yes, Doctor.
Now, I have an issue. Listen.
Yes.
Now, I have the second issue in my pocket of the Cog Weekly.
Uncle Merle begins cackling to himself.
How much could you give me for the second printed issue of Cog Weekly?
Suddenly, Uncle Merle composes himself. He says, I think we're done here, boys. Does that sound like we kind of reached the end of the transaction. Everybody happy? Everybody have a good time?
Yep, Dan's good.
Yes, I suppose so.
Okay, well, Boulder, you good?
I suppose so. I'm a little worried about the things you said to me.
What are you talking about? What did I say?
Nothing, because you said tell no ones.
Okay, well, you know, if everybody's good, Boulder, you want to get some oysters or something? I mean, I feel like nobody really ate anything, and it's not really polite to just buy drinks.
I'll pass.
Yes, okay. can we get out of this room? I'm getting some real weird vibes.
No, that should be fun. Thank you for your purchases. As always, it's a pleasure to do business with you. I'm actually going to stay in here. Isaac will see you back to your table.
Well, that's a little bit concerning.
And so as you guys shuffle out of the room and Isaac closes the wall behind him, you hear Uncle Merrill's cackle as he whispers to himself. And the door closes and you guys get led back to your table. And all of a sudden, Dr. Cogsbuckle, your wad starts dinging off with messages over and over and over again.
My gosh. Who is trying to contact me? They're blowing up my wad.
You see at least 50 or 60 messages from Lost Cat at the school.
Oh, no. Oh, Lost Cat, she's... Normally, she doesn't do this unless she's really aggravated. Or she's just trying to contact me for something. I'm going to give her a call back.
You get 3 more messages in the time it takes you to begin to make the call.
Lost Cat, stop, please. You know, I can't make a call if you keep sending me messages.
Dr. Cogsbuckle.
Yes?
Where have you been?
Well, we're... Uncle Merle's...
Is Din with you right now?
Yes, he's right here.
Some really angry lady just keeps calling over and over and over again, yelling at me to get Din, and I've been trying to call you guys for the past, 30 minutes.
Lost Cat, calm down. Who is trying...
Hey, don't tell me to calm down. I've told you about that.
Yes, ma'am. Of course. who is trying to call?
I don't know. Some just, crazy angry lady. She said she'd be here, and, it was... 30 minutes and 10 minutes ago. I don't know, 20 minutes. Y'all need to get back to the school.
Okay, yes, of course. We're on our way. Din, Boulder, we must go back to the school. Apparently there's a woman raging that needs to see Din.
I heard. Question. How'd y'all get here?
I think that we were teleported here by a greater higher power.
Oh, cool.
You guys walked there.
And by that higher powers, I mean our feats.
Well, you all tall, so higher than me. Makes sense.
Butter bumps.
All right, boys, let's go ahead and walk back to the school.
Wow, that's sad, carrying all your purchases.
I think that's probably the best sight in the world.
Yeah.
Is 3 guys, in slow-mo, awesome guitar riff, open the door, just jackets fluttering, Din's holding a freaking shotgun.
Boulder's holding his rail rifle. Dr. Cogsbuckle has a I voted button sized little device that no one knows what it does and nothing else.
Well, no, I'm also wearing my flak vest.
Yeah, that's true. Flak jacket. Let's not get crazy.
His chest is a little bit more puffier and stiffer.
That's right, but otherwise, change.
I really do appreciate the discreet packaging they put the rail rifle in.
Yeah, it literally is just two doggy bags shoved together end to end. That's yes. It says Uncle Merrill's Tattoo Parlor and Oyster House on the side.
I see. Well, let's carry on, boys.
So you guys start walking back to the school. You get about 2 steps out of the front entrance of Uncle Merrill's when you hear someone ranting and raving a few steps down in an alleyway. It unfortunately is an alleyway that you have to pass to go the shortest route back to the school. What do you do?
I mean, we should probably go the shortest way if we're trying to cut time. And I don't know about y'all, but and Din's gonna kind of look at his, his hand with the gun and everyone's newly acquired stuff and be like, I wouldn't play that game today.
Yes, I would hate for Lost Cat to get any more peeved than she already is. So we need to get back as quickly as possible. Let's go ahead and take this shortcut.
So y'all go and head perpendicular to the alleyway. Dr. Cogsbuckle, I need you to roll sharp. Roll 2d6 plus sharp for me.
I swear to God, if we get mugged.
That is an 11 plus 1.
So
12.
12 total. A bottle from the alleyway as you kind of cross perpendicular to it flies out and you just barely see it in time enough to move out of the way. It does ding Boulder in the armor plate and it makes kind of a tinking sound as it hits and then falls to the ground and rolls away. But then you hear the shrill voice that you certainly recognize and it says, Phineas Cogsbuckle!
Oh, good God. What
now?
Holy
crap! Who's that?
Phineas, where have you... I have not seen you in weeks. I have been sitting in this alley for at least the past few weeks. How many weeks has it been, Phineas?
Dear God, woman, I have no idea.
You see the hunched over and rag encased form of Ritna, Lady Ritna Renfeld, and she says,
I you were supposed to be back here weeks ago. I specifically, do you not remember the conversation we had?
Well, to be completely honest, Lady Ritna, I do not.
I specifically told you that you had to come back here, or someone you knew and were very close to would die.
Din's gonna take like three steps away from Dr. Cogsbuckle, so Boulder's closest.
Yes, of course. You know, we've been very busy, so I probably just forgot about it.
Prophecy! Prophecy, Dr. Cogsbuckle, I have another prophecy for you.
Yes, okay. Please, please do.
Sorry, can we all take a moment to appreciate
prophecy? Prophecy, Dr. Cogsbuckle, I got another one for you.
Prophecy!
Yes, please. I would love to hear this prophecy. Just please make it quick.
She says,
Dr. Phineas Cogsbuckle, in bed with the Renoirs you are, a massive twist you will see, and then you will die.
You know, why do all of your prophecies end with me dying?
She starts picking at her ear.
Remember what I told you, Doc. You only have to forget the second part. The first part is positive. I mean, if you think about it, it says we're in relations with the Renoirs and there's going to be some sort of twists. I mean, it's not that bad. She's already told you you're going to die, so I mean, what's the big deal?
Yes, of course. You know, I do remember that, and I completely agree.
Prophecy!
Thank you,
prophecy!
Yes, prophecy, prophecy, prophecy. Yes, of course. Thank you. Thank
prophecy,
you.
Dr. Cogsbuckle. Okay. I have another prophecy for you.
Keep it moving. One. We're busy. Keep it moving.
Ritna, I will be
Come
back
on.
Tomorrow.
I prophesize that you will buy me some oysters from the oyster house.
Yes, of course you do. You say that every time as well, as soon as I try to leave. All right, boys, let's head back to the
prophecy.
School
Prophecy!
She said, she says in the distance as you walk in the alley past her.
Prophecy!
You guys make
My
it through
God,
the alley.
That old hag.
Is that the oracle she was telling us about?
And
Stark?
You were worried about that? Oh,
I'm
man.
Not gonna lie. I think she huffs the paint.
Well, to be completely honest, I was a younger man, and she really startled me one day. You thought that was scary. She jumped out of a trash can and started yelling the prophecy. So I was very startled. I was very confused. So I took it as a warning.
Oh God!
Fair enough.
Yes, it was quite the evening.
Though, Doc, she might be one of those psychics that just kind of takes shots in the dark. What if she's right? You never knows.
Yes, well, I guess we'll find out. Either way, I'm going to die. So.
Oh, God. It's about this time that y'all make it back to the school where you see the rumbling bundle of steel and neon that is Marla's car parked out front, and you see Marla ranting at Lost Cat in the courtyard.
Dan's going to stop before he gets anywhere close to the building, seeing the car clearly probably still on and flashing.
Yep.
Y'all two go ahead. I'm gonna go around the back. And I'm just gonna go at the back door. All right, and Din's gonna start like not jogging, but like fast walking away.
Are you trying
there
to do
this?
There
is no back door, though, Doc.
Dr. Phineas Cogsbuckle positions himself behind Boulder so he can't be seen.
So the only one visible is Boulder.
Where did the doc go? I guess I'm alone.
Psst, Boulder, I'm right here. I'm really? Behind you. Look.
Ah! Yes.
Prophecy.
Oh.
Listen, I really don't want to deal with Lost Cat right now. When she gets in this mood, she makes me very uncomfortable.
You could say she's like a wet cat.
Yes. Well, yes, actually, that's very accurate, Boulder. Good job.
My analogies are...
Wayne!
Yes,
Wayne!
Top notch, 100%.
Wayne! Wayne Boulder huh? Thompson!
Where's Dr. Cogsbuckle?
Hi, Lost Cat.
Get over here right now. I called you guys like 20, 30 minutes ago. What happened?
I have to poop. I can't move.
Just poop later. Poop in your pants. Get over here right now.
I can't move. I'm stuck. Have you ever had to poop before and
where's
you couldn't
Dr.
move?
Where's Dr. Cogsbuckle? Where's Din?
I don't know. I don't know.
Hold her. Just start walking towards her. I'll follow in your footsteps.
Is he behind you again?
Boulder takes off sprinting.
Leaving Dr. Cogsbuckle standing there.
Yeah, just standing there crouched.
Phineas!
Oh, good God. Yes, Lost Cat.
Get your scrawny butt into the... This person has been just absolutely harassing all the students and destroying things at the school. Asking about Din. Where is Din at?
I don't know. He was with us, and I turned around, and he disappeared. I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Phineas Cogsbuckle. This is my fine institution. Who might you be?
The name's Marla, and, I don't really know or care about you. I'm here for Din. Oh, hey, Boulder. How's it going?
Hey. Because I run past.
Dr. Belt Buckle or whatever, where's Din at?
Well, it's Cogsbuckle, but yes, of course. Let me try and ring him on his wad real quick.
So you go and ring Din on his wad, and it rings from across the courtyard.
I was going to say he's somewhere. We're here.
Boulder, you can. It's been a while since you ran anywhere.
Wayne, are you going to throw up again?
It's fine. Lost Cat.
Honey, go sit down. It's fine.
He just plops down.
That's fine. Phineas, go get him a towel or something.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Din Feasel, where are you? Come out right now.
Din's not here right now. Please leave a message after the beep.
Marla turns, beep. Just whips around. And she, Din, are you serious? I've been trying to get you for at least, I don't know, a couple days. Where have you been?
Din's gonna peek his head around the corner. I've been hanging out with a new associate of mine.
Well, have you...
It's that stupid Nelson.
You mean the douchebag?
Yeah, you know, it...
Is his last name Summer's Eve?
Good one, Boulder. Yes? So what's going on?
Have you forgotten about, I don't know, all of your old associates since then?
And Din's gonna hold I'd up his yes. new shotgun.
Din, that's a nice gun. It's not really what we need right now, though.
Good point.
Actually, if I could interject, you could always use a really quality shotguns in any situations. Lost Cat, can you find Ratboy and give me some sparkly water, please?
Yeah, that's fine, Mr. Boulder, no problem. Where is Phineas? Phineas!
I'm behind the bushes over in the corner.
Phineas, I can see your legs out from behind the bushes over there.
Oh, dear God. Okay. Yes, Lost Cat.
You were supposed to be getting Boulder a towel.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'll be right back.
I don't believe you. You stay here.
Sparkly.
Tree bark.
Sparkling water, Doc.
Tree bark. Go get Boulder a towel. And Tree bark says,
"That'll come."
And then you see Rat Boy run out from. Did somebody say sparkling water? I got one.
Hey, Rat Boys, where were you? I'm suddenly losing my breath again for no reason, even though I was kind of calming down.
No, I was just hanging out in the school and I heard someone yell sparkling water.
Well, thank you. I take it and I drink the whole thing. Oh, God.
Yeah, that was.
Rat Boy. Is this pee again?
Well, I was just holding that. I didn't actually have a sparkling water.
Rat Boy, it's best we not discuss it.
So, Marla, so we're probably talking about the East Street guys, and you're right. I have forgotten. Aside from preparing for making more money, which is why I acquired this bad thing, I'm still half a car short from really doing anything at this point. So, I... leave everything up to you and trust that you will do what's right for the family.
Have you not, like, checked in on anything since this all started? I told you about this the other day, Din. They, like, people are dying now. This is serious.
Ooh. No, you know, I glanced over all the messages in the group chat. Again, been kind of busy. But I'm here now, and I can take care of this when we need to.
No, we need to right now. We'll get you a car. It's fine. You can use my car. I don't care. You gotta kind of reassert yourself, or like people are gonna keep dying. They're calling it the Mega Death Race 3000.
Ooh,
that's a really high number.
Yeah, I've always told them they're all about. And see, I've always pushed for simple is better. And they're for the whole dramatics and the flair and, you're right. I'll go. Yeah, we can deal with this.
You know, I bet it's that Rick in charge of all the flair.
Yeah, no, Rick. how do you know about Rick? He's the second in command of the East Street Riders.
You know, Rick used to run with a rough crowd that I knew.
Yeah,
the
Six Horsemen, right?
Huh?
Yeah, the Six Horsemen, you know?
Yes. We were named after, you know, six things.
Anyway, so this is going to be probably super rigged if I know those guys. And I kind of know those guys. So, Doc, if you want to get away from... And he's going to, like, with his eyes gesture over to Kat. If you want to come along and help with this, you're more than welcome to. Boulder, same for you, bud. If you want to come help me deal with this.
No. Phineas is needed at the school, actually.
Well,
Lost Cat, I would like to go with my friends.
Did you eat all of your dinner, Dr. Cogsbuckle?
Listen.
If you didn't eat all your dinner, we talked about this, Dr. Cogsbuckle.
Lost Cat, listen.
Could you put it in some Tupperware for him?
I know. I told him that if he didn't eat it, it was going to spoil.
That's for the Tupperware.
Well, what's for dinner?
I mean, it's Rat Boy's chili again, but what are
Jesus
you going to do?
Jesus Christ. You know, Din really needs me right now. I don't see us being gone for more than a few weeks.
I will bring him back before sunrise.
Marla looks at the group of you incredulously and says, Din, are you serious right now? We have to go. People are literally dying.
You're right, but if we're going to have any edge over the competition, I need someone more than I could trust. I know I have you, and I have... Well, actually, I don't even know who's going to show up tonight, but at least I know I have 2 to 3 people that are going to back me up when stuff goes sideways.
No, I mean, and I'm here for you, Din. I really am, and I'm willing to give you my car, be in the passenger seat, be whatever you need. But listen to me. This new guy that's running the Riders... Like, it's been crazy since you left.
All right, well, and Din's going to start. He's just going to head over to the car and hop in real quick. And he's going to wait just in case, you know, someone else wants to.
Marla looks at the other two of you and says, I mean, we can use extra bodies or gunners or whatever. It's all necessary. Go, go, go.
I'm going to walk over to Dr. Cogsbuckle to get him out of the bush. I'm going, hey, Din invited me.
Yeah, so you have fun, Boulder. I need to, you know, a loss.
No, Doc, you're coming's with me. It's your school. Tell Lost Cats to get lost.
Yes, good. That was good, Boulder. She kind of scares me, if I'm being completely honest. Hold on, let me go talk.
Don't
let me
worry,
go discuss.
Doc, I can make her a permanent drop zone.
No. She's a very good administrative assistant. Lost Cat.
Phineas,
Marla,
do you have Phineas, look.
Yes?
Do you have something to say to me?
I do, as a matter of fact. Marla, give me just a moment, please.
Whatever. We gotta.
I pull
I'm
Lost Cat
here.
over with me.
Okay, go ahead.
Lost Cat, look behind you. I just saw Drunken Stump go inside with a bag of stuff that looks like drugs.
What? Not again. And she turns
around
and
looks. I
ran to the car. Dr. Phineas Cogsbuckle sprints down the sidewalk just as Boulder gets into the back seat of Marla's car. And Din
floors it.
Yeah, Din floors it as everybody gets in. And you hear Lost Cat yelling in the background. And the next thing you see as you speed through the streets, it's getting closer to nighttime now. The street lights, what few work, are coming on, and in the sparsely occupied building, some of the light starting to flood out on the street. You're still four, five, six blocks away when all of a sudden you hear the loud revving of several engines. You see fire shooting off and up into the sky in the distance, and you hear screaming, yelling, cheers, swearing, fighting, all from several blocks away.
This reminds me of Burning Woman.
Oh, sweet home.
As you pull up and get a little bit closer, it begins a little bit harder to weave your way through all the people. But Din revs the engine and people start to kind of move out of the way. And it's about this time that you get to the edge of the crowd. You see a long, straight street in front of you, littered with obstacles and various traps and weaponry. And I mean, it looks like if somebody took a video game and put it in real life, this is what it looks like. It looks like a cross between Mad Max and Death Race. And Marla says, Din, do you see what I mean? Like, we used to just, like, race. This is some kind of...
Who is financing all this? This looks so expensive.
No, I know. Nobody knows where this is coming from. This is ridiculous. We just used to race for a time, and now it's, like, last man standing or something. They just do figure eights, and whoever doesn't die wins.
Yeah, this isn't right. All right. And Din's gonna pull up to the starting line and hop out to look around to see if there's anyone else he recognizes.
So you pull the car up to the starting line, the brake squeals as it kind of slides to a stop, and you hop out, leaving it idling in the background. And through the rumble, you look through the crowd, and you see 10, 20 of the E Street Riders here, all in various cars that look extremely menacing and each have some unique characteristics. And you look around and see Ric Flair standing there. Is that copyrighted? You see Rick standing there over towards one of the cars to the left. It is a large multicolored kind of battle wagon. And he says, surely my eyes are deceiving me right now. Is
No, it's been a while, Rick.
Is that Din freaking Weasel?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you could. Yeah. What's all this about?
I heard
Din's gonna gesture.
I heard you don't drive unless it's for children now.
Well, I used to drive for children. Hence why I was always around you guys.
Oh, ha 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 ha, Din freaking Weasel. And the E Street Riders all laugh and let up a cheer. You're in our world now, boy.
Oh, no, you guys are just visiting again. And I'll be sure of that.
Well, I don't really know. And he kind of looks around at the rest of the E Street Riders. They kind of shrug at him and say, I don't really know what to say to that. Surely you don't think you can race with us.
No. See, that's where you guys are wrong again. I don't race with y'all. I beat y'all.
Listen, man, why you always got to get so personal about things? He kind of gets close to you. I'm just trying to put on a good show here.
I get it, but still, like, dude, like, how many people have died doing all this? I mean,
50 or 60, it's not a big deal. It brings in a lot of money.
I know, but is any of that money going to the families for the people that you killed?
I mean, no, but that's most of it goes to the new boss.
Who's the new boss?
It's some dude named Rico. Nobody knows who he actually is.
Huh. Do you know where Rico is?
No, I hadn't seen him in a couple weeks. But, you know, like, he planned this race for a few months, so we gotta do it.
What's
up, Boulder?
You forgot to turn off your microphones to the PA system.
He looks around startled as the whole crowd has gone silent, and the people that were shooting off fireworks have kind of, like, stifled them, and he says, no...
Yeah, y'all realize that was all just the front, right? Like that, like, you know, it's welcoming back the Din freaking Weasel over here. And, just shut up. We'll get racing in a second.
Din, why do you always make me look so bad, man?
I didn't do that. That was him that time.
He kind of goes back to his car and sits down uncomfortably. And Marla pulls on the side of, on your sleeve and says, Din, are you gonna race in this? Like, seriously, what are we doing here? You realize somebody's gonna die, right? This is not like a game. I mean, they have guns mounted on their cars. I don't have a gun on my car.
I have a boulder.
Like, is that a euphemism or
I look at Doc again and open my eyes wide.
Yes, Din.
Oh my god,
listen,
that got me.
Do you mind if, look, I would love to ride in this car with you, but do you mind if I just get out?
Yeah, no, actually, Doc, if you wouldn't mind, kind of like rub elbows and kind of talk to the crowd, find out who this new boss is, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, of course. Well, you know, the extra weight may throw off the aerodynamics of the car, so yeah. I just want to make sure that I don't mess anything up. You know what, you know what I mean?
And on top of that, Marla, I know this is yours, but, you know, Doc isn't necessarily the combatant type. If you wouldn't mind watching his back while we finish this.
No, that's fine. We can go up in the tower and kind of call the race for you if you think that'll help.
Yeah, no, that'll be great, because, I mean, I've been around this place plenty of times, but I don't know all the new add-ons that look expensive and deadly. And anyone else get nervous? I mean, I'm not. I'm just, you know.
I put my hand on Den's shoulder and I go, "Don't worry, buddy." And I like clink up my grenade launcher to like.
Yeah, no. No, yeah, that, yeah.
That's the comfort.
No, we got...
That's all the comfort.
Yeah,
needs.
We got this. And Din's gonna go back to the car and start mentally preparing.
Okay, I think the way that we'll do this is, why don't you go ahead and roll to read a sitch? We hadn't rolled a lot this session, so why don't you go ahead and roll to read a sitch? That's gonna be plus sharp.
That's gonna be a 9.
So at a 7 and 9, you can ask one of the following. What's my best escape route, way in, way past? Which enemy is the most vulnerable to me? Which enemy is the biggest threat? What should I be on the lookout for? What's my enemy's true position, or who's in control here? So when it's enemy, you can substitute that with vehicle.
Okay, so I guess what's the biggest threat?
Which vehicle is the biggest threat? You look over the vehicles that are lined up, and each of them have various weaponry and you know, like, basically shields on the front. Each one is outfitted differently. The one that looks the most dangerous easily is Rick's car.
Duly noted.
Boulder, you look around at all the people. You're getting slightly claustrophobic being crowded in on this many sides, as you see Dr. Cogsbuckle be led off by Marla to go and prepare to kind of get up in the tower for the race. And it's just you and Din for the first time in a long time.
Where is Din? Are you outside
of
the car?
I'm inside.
I go ahead and I like get in and I pull my mask down and I go, "We're back at it again, Din."
Just like old times.
Din, you grip the leather on the steering wheel and it kind of like crackles under your fingers as you grip it a little bit harder than you mean to. And you rev the engine, and as you do, the neon that's surrounding it kind of intensifies with the pedal press. It's a something that Marla has rigged up since you saw the car last. And you look over at the other cars on the starting block. There's probably 10, 15 cars lined up here in two rows. And you look down the road, down the stretch, and you see all the obstacles in the way. It's kind of terrifying. And it's about that time that a crackle over the bullhorn, the PA system that's overhead, comes out, and you hear the voice of Rick. And Rick says, "All right, boys, you know the rules. Last one standing wins. If you die, you're out."
That's what's it. This isn't even a race. We're... All right. Dan's just going to shake his head.
"This is the race around the Warrens. And I can't hear you because I'm on a bullhorn. This is a race around the Warrens. If you make it to the finish line, you get to live. So it's
okay,
not really..."
There's the race.
"It's not really last one standing." You know, as I'm saying it out loud here. This is the way I set up the race, so I guess this is what it is. I really wish the boss was here. He kind of was better at this stuff than I am. Boulder, if you had something to say, you can say it now, I guess.
Thanks, Rick. Good seeing you.
No, it's great, brother, to see you too, Boulder. Well, and it's just echoing.
Looking real.
It's echoing trim out over the crowd, and everybody's kind of standing around. No, Boulder, it's really great to see you too, buddy.
Hopefully I get to see you after the race.
No, and like I said, it's last man standing, but also if you cross the finish line, then you also get to live.
So, what? Oh, well, yeah. Well, hopefully I get to see you after the race, because I was worried there that maybe we were going to get executed at the race line if we didn't win.
No, it is so, last man standing.
Thanks for clarifying.
I understand the confusion. It is last man standing, unless you get across the finish line, and then you get to live.
How many laps is this race?
It's 5 or 6, whatever we feel like, to be honest.
Well, you kind of have to define. You have to define the amount of laps beforehand, so that all the racers know. You can't just kind of in the middle of it in like, oh, I'm in first place. It's 4
No,
laps.
The problem is in the boss's notes for the race, he said he wrote 5 or 6 question mark and then never finished filling out the page, and then.
That sounds like he didn't have enough time and maybe was rushing home from the previous engagements. Oh, and then we kind of started late, and then maybe he had internet connection issues. And then, you know, we kind of had to scrap like 12 whole minutes of audios because, you know, the WAD connection was kind of weak. So that, you know, anyway.
I want to be very clear. Boulder on said to the that, race. Not Din. Boulder did that. Din was cool. Din's fine right here.
Oh, man. So Rick gets off the PA and kind of squeals out in the distance as it goes. A cheer goes up through the crowd. People start shooting off fireworks at the end.
We're happy they're gone.
and several men and women come out in various states of dress and undress and line up in front of the cars in between them, and the countdown begins. You hear 3 loud beeps, and it kind of goes, bop, bop. Bump. So Din, I need you to roll. Let's call this a hot roll. This is going. I think you're going aggro in a car, right?
I do believe so, but also I'm going to need you to give me some stats on her car so I can add to my roll.
It's a very special car. Speed +2, handling +1, but it is a -1 armor car.
Speed +2, handle a +1. And then armor is minus what?
-1.
Ooh,
so wow. If it takes damage, it will take an additional damage because it is made for speed and not much else.
So that's a 9.
On a 9, you get a mixed success. As the last bell on the race start sounds off, the tires spin and you don't quite catch traction as you're not used to the throttle in the car. And you get a bad start to the race, but we're off. And that's where we'll end it for this week. Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of SideQuest. This one was quite the interesting one for Dan to edit, but we appreciate his service as he does it. Dr. Cogsbuckle, you're heading up to the tower to oversee the race. What are you thinking with this scene? You know, Dan's invited you to quite a few races, and you've never actually shown up, which seems to be a pattern with you. What are you thinking about this whole scene?
Well, you know, I'm interested, but I'm also worried for my boys. Because right now, it seems very dangerous, and of course, this isn't what Din's races usually look like, so I'm in a little bit of a concern, but I'm also pretty interested to get to know Marla a little bit more.
Yeah, she's
a horny old bastard.
See what she's all about.
Yeah, she's a very interesting person. Din, Boulder.
But I'm also wondering, yes, you know, she bought a speed car to a battle race, so I'm a little bit confused
there. I think that's just what she had. Like, you know what I mean? Like, only the
it's
E Street.
Daily.
Yeah, that's her daily. Only the E Street people have cars that are outfitted for this.
Yes, well.
You know.
We'll see how it goes, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Din, Boulder, back together and it feels so good. Why don't you guys give me your thoughts as you squeal out of the finish line, squeal out of the start line and head out off on the races.
I have the utmost faith or belief in Din's abilities to drive this car. I just hope I can aim well enough to get rid of Ric Flair.
Nah, you got it. You've been doing this before.
But last time you were in a car with Din and he was going fast, you ended up with memory loss and Din ended up in jail.
Actually, Mr. Darian, okay. The last time
really
he was in the car
it.
And I was going fast, he blew a hole in a
that's
mall.
True, that's
and
true.
And we did awesome wheelies.
That's true. That's
and
true.
Everything was
and
fine.
And I killed Rat Boy's pet.
So that was a truck.
Second time.
Yeah, that was a truck. It doesn't count. So.
But yes.
Still a car.
You know, the 1 out of 3, yes, a little bad, but also not, again, not my fault. Don't know how that all played out, but, you know, I have faith in the dynamic duo.
Yeah.
I mean, we've done it before, and we will do it again, you know, or don't tell Boulder this, but or we'll die trying.
Yep, that's what we're all hoping for, is to see the tragic death of a character only 8-9 episodes into the podcast.
Here's hoping.
Here's hoping. Guys, I want to thank you all for joining us for SideQuest. And, you know, normally I have Richie run down the socials, but our socials are down in the episode description below. A little easier to rattle them off. But I did want Richie to tell you guys about using the hashtag SickPod on Twitter and what it might get you.
Hashtag SickPod on Twitter will get you more than likely. Again, I don't like making promises just in case the other three in the group go against me on this. But you might show up in an episode. You know what I mean? And maybe we use a name. Maybe we use an idea. I don't know if any of the other boys have recently looked at the Twitter, but a quality man that goes by the name of Jack, he's used the hashtag SickPod, and we'll talk about that and work on that a little bit later. But that's it's up to y'all.
Nice. Thanks for tweeting at us. yes, I saw that one. It made me laugh very hard. So I think, guys, we're not in the best situation here, but I think this is going to be a fun race. I think it's going to be a good time.
Oh, it's the best situation. Every single role that involves who's in control here. Dead freaking Diesel, baby.
Who
I don't know who let him in my house, but he just randomly showed up.
Who's Din Diesel?
Din Diesel is actually Din Diesel's brother, but they don't share the last name, only the first name.
True. Our mom remarried.
Guys, thank you so much for joining us for the episode of SideQuest. I want to thank my PCs. Dan is not Din. Dan is Dr. Cogsbuckle. Richie is Din. And Cruz Turner is the Boulder, or just Boulder. I got in trouble for that last time. Guys, why don't we tell the people bye-bye and we can get out of here so I can quit stumbling over my words.
Have a good night, y'all. Be safe.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Wasn't his name like something shithead?
Yes. Yes, actually it was.
Yes. I think it was Jack Dipshit, if I'm not mistaken.